Sign up!
This is the OTP presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Let the experts at Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it when you need great health care coverage at a price you can afford. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. With Amy Wells, I'm Mike Keith. Happy birthday.
Hey, thanks, Mike Keith.
All right, so this is the August 31st version of the OTP, live and in charge, because we are talking about the cuts to 53 on what is an intriguing day for the Titans. I'm going to run through the cuts very quickly. Rookie wide receiver Des Fitzpatrick, wide receiver Mason Kenzie, safety Jamal Carter, safety Breon Body Calhoun, tight end Miller Forrestall, fullback Torrey Carter, linebacker Jan Johnson, outside linebacker Wyatt Ray, offensive lineman Jordan Ruse, offensive lineman Cole Banwart, offensive lineman Christian Delario, defensive lineman Naquan Jones, offensive lineman Derwin Gray, defensive lineman Woodrow Hamilton, wide receiver Fred Brown, tight end Jared Pickney. So the Titans cut 17 players today to officially get to 53 by 3 o'clock Central Time. Now, what's interesting about this is the Titans still have, as we record this edition of the OTP, 9 players on the COVID-19 list. Ryan Tannehill, Jeremy McNichols, Justin March Lillard, Nick DeZubnar, Harold Landry, Ben Jones, Nate Davis, Racy McMath, Jeff Swaim. Those players do not currently count against the 53. So at this moment, the Tennessee Titans are at 62 in terms of where they'll have to get down to 53 at some point as these players come off the COVID list. Let's kind of break down the roster. You want to start on offense or defense?
Offense.
All right, start on offense. Right now, 3 quarterbacks still technically around, with Tannehill on the COVID list. Matt Barkley and Logan Woodside are both on the roster at this point. You would figure that one of those 2 players would be a cut when Tannehill comes back. So that's clearly going to be a spot. I don't think anybody expects the Titans to carry 3 quarterbacks.
No, and even listening to Mike Vrabel talk about it a little bit, it doesn't seem as though, while he never shows any hand in any regard, we didn't get any sense that that was something that was even in consideration. So, yeah, you have to assume that one of those spots is going to come off the board when Ryan Tannehill comes back.
10 offensive linemen right now: Lawan, Quessenberry, Saffold, Radens, Jones, Munyer, Davis, Brewer, Sambrilo, and Lamb. Jones and Davis will come back off the COVID list at some point, but I think the team could still stick with 10 at this point if Munyer is able to go. If not, you know, theoretically, one possibility is there's injured reserve.
An injured reserve is something that we've seen kind of change because of COVID. The rules and the amount of time that you have to stay on injured reserve changes a little bit.
Well, because Munyer and others are on the 53 at 3 o'clock today, they are eligible to be put on IR with a designation to return.
Right.
So that's a possibility, but that's an area certainly to watch. Right now, 4 tight ends for the Titans: Tommy Hudson, Anthony Firkser, Luke Stocker, and Jeff Swaim, who's on the COVID list at this point. Do they keep 4 at some point? Do they get down to 3, or do they go somewhere else looking for another veteran tight end? And does this group have some shaking going on at some point?
I think the tight end position is one to watch in the coming days as Jeff Swaim comes back from COVID protocols and going through that whole process. What is that going to mean for that room specifically? Definitely one to watch.
And Swaim is a guy who's not done anything to speak of in the month of August in terms of injury and then going on the COVID list. He practiced very little. So, you know, how much is he able to give right away? Even if you want to keep him on the roster, can he help you right away because he's missed so much time?
Exactly.
Something to watch.
Yep.
All right, wide receiver position right now at 8 with Racy McMath on the COVID list. It's A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Josh Reynolds. We know they're there. Here's the rest: Nick Westbrook-Akina, Marcus Johnson, who's been dinged up, Chester Rogers, who's done a good job, and then obviously Cameron Batson, who was absolutely fantastic in the preseason, certainly in the finale against the Chicago Bears. And I think in the end, you say, Batson over Fitzpatrick is what made it to the 53.
Yeah, and I think that he has, first, my man was not giving up that spot. He wanted to be on this Titans team, and he showed it. I mean, he fought for his spot, and then he's able to contribute on special teams, and I think that that versatility was such a contributing factor to getting a spot on this team.
And again, Racy McMath on the COVID list. Titans clearly not going to keep 8 wide receivers. Do they keep 6? Do they keep 7? Again, does somebody go on IR? Who knows what happens there? Running back position, 5 at this time if you count Jeremy McNichols. That would seem to be heavier than what you would figure for the Titans. Blasingame's the fullback. Derrick Henry's there. If Darrington Evans is able to go, he had done a lot in the first 3 weeks of camp to where you said there's some positivity with him before having an injury. And then you get Mekhi Sargent or Jeremy McNichols.
Doesn't seem as though there's room to keep both. It seems like an either or, right?
Or do you keep, if McNichols gets back, do you keep him and try to scoot Sargent through to the practice squad early on? Or do you keep Sargent outright? But,
right.
That would seem to be a place where you're probably going to go down by one. So that's offense. Again, right now, counting the guys who are on the COVID list, taking out of 62 at this moment, 10 offensive linemen, 4 tight ends, 3 quarterbacks, 5 running backs, 8 wide receivers. You have a kicker, a snapper, and a punter as well, which we count in that list. And Kern, Cox, and Ficken are by all rights staying.
Which I'm very happy with.
All right, on defense, the one position that could be set could be defensive line. You have 5 guys who are on the roster, on the 53 right now, and none of them are on the COVID list. Denico Autry, Tierre Tart, Jeffrey Simmons, Larrell Murchison, Anthony Rush. Could be it.
I'm into that. Okay. I'm happy with that.
We'll see. Linebacker is really interesting because at the inside linebacker spot, you've got 6 counting 2 on COVID. DeZubnar and March Lillard are on COVID. You have Jayon Brown, Rashawn Evans, David Long, and Monty Rice. Can they stay at 6 there? That would seem to be unlikely. We'll see.
It seems heavy. It seems like that's a place where if you need to make some adjustments due to numbers, that's a place you could dip into.
At outside linebacker, when you get Harold Landry back off COVID, you have 5. Bud Dupree, Ola Adeniyi, Harold Landry, Derek Roberson, and Rashad Weaver. That sounds right, particularly with the fact that Bud Dupree is just starting to ramp up what he is doing and that everybody involved in that group can play special teams.
Right.
Weaver showed that he can play special teams. So you would think that may be the 5.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like a solid group, and you're right with the injury, too. I didn't think about that, but Dupree coming back from injury.
All right, so in the secondary, here's a fascinating one. 13 defensive backs are left.
You need them all.
None of them are on the COVID list right now.
You need them all.
So you have the starting 4, Jackrabbit Jenkins, Amani Hooker, Kevin Byard, Christian Fulton. Caleb Farley is obviously part of the mix. You would figure Elijah Molden is very much part of the mix as well, considering how much nickel he's been playing. Then at the safety spot, the backup safeties, Dane Cruikshank, Matthias Farley, Brady Breeze, Bradley McDougal, who did a pretty nice job after being a late add. The other corners that are out there, Breon Borders, who had really sort of put himself in a position as the primary backup corner, at least at this point until Farley's ready, also played special teams well. Chris Jackson was the nickel, got dinged up, lost some time to Elijah Molden, but he has certainly shown up. And then Chris Jones is a corner who has shown up at different points. Probably some tough decisions in that group. You're certainly not going to keep 13.
Yeah, I was kidding when you said you need all of them. There's no way you can keep all of them. But you're absolutely right. There are a lot of people who showed that they could be contributors in different ways. So kind of, I'm glad I'm not the general manager. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, the interesting part of all this now, again, 53 players right now for the Titans, 9 players on the COVID list. We're at the 53 mark, so now, again to repeat, injured reserve is a possibility. You could put somebody back on injured reserve. They could be designated to return, so they are now not done for the season. So if anybody's dinged up and can't go, you can find roster spots there. You certainly are going to have to find roster spots to get down to 53 as players on the COVID list come back.
Can I ask a potentially silly question about the players on the COVID list?
Sure.
Are they also included as making the 53 so they could then be put on IR and designated to return, or does that not extend to the players who are currently on the COVID list?
Well, I mean, if they have an injury outside of COVID, yes.
Right. I mean, none of, to my knowledge, these people don't. It was more a technicality
Correct.
Question.
Correct. Well, like Tannehill's coming back, so one of the other quarterbacks are gone.
Right.
You pretty you much, from what John Robinson has said, that's the case. You feel that way at the inside linebacker spot, too. And then there's going to be a, you know, sort of a bulk in the secondary. What you don't know right now is what else is out there. What other players are out there that John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, and staff may have interest in? Are there guys they're going to trade for? Are there guys that they don't have a high spot in the waiver claim? They're number 22, but do they get a player who's not a vested veteran, who does not become a free agent at this point? Do they make a waiver claim? There are still options, and there's money to consider as well, because we are moving towards the salary cap. Here's where we are. By today at 3 o'clock, August 31st, we cut to 53. Waiver claims must be made by tomorrow at 3 o'clock Central Time. Formation of the practice squad and ability to place players on injured reserve designated to return. That's tomorrow at 3. And then September the 9th, which is a week from this Thursday, that's when the top 51 rule expires. Meaning, right now your salary cap is judged as the top 51 players on your roster. On September 9th, it clicks into all 53 players, players on the injured reserve, and what you're doing with your practice squad.
You got to pay all of those people real money.
Well, everything counts. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing about the NFL salary cap, is every dollar is accounted for. There's no Larry Bird rule like in the NBA where you're able to count something a different way. There are no accounting practices that are tricky in order to do those sorts of things. Every dollar is going to go toward the bottom line. And so through the offseason, from March until September 9th, your salary cap, you must be under the salary cap based on your top 51 salaries. Starting on the 9th, the real thing begins with everybody counting something.
It's football time. Isn't this crazy that we're finally here?
Yeah, I think it is. So surprises in the cuts to you, we didn't expect any big shockers because we knew that the Titans would have to cut 9 less players based on the COVID list. Are you surprised by anyone?
Not really. There are a couple that I'm disappointed by. I'm always disappointed this time of year. You know, guys you're kind of cheering for who don't end up getting on with this ball club but could be picked up someplace else. I'm interested to see, as some of these players who we know are going to be on the roster come off the COVID list, how those spots free up. That's what I'm interested in. This has kind of been an anticlimactic day for the Tennessee Titans because the team has bought themselves a little bit of time having so many people on COVID.
Earlier today, I had a chance to visit with the Kiwanis Club in Clarksville, and the question was asked, will there be surprises? And I told them, no, I don't think there will be surprises today, because with the COVID list having as many people on it as it did, some of the tougher decisions didn't have to be made, and it pushes it off. Now, the question with a lot of this is, there will not come one day where they will have to make all 9 decisions. It will be based on as guys return.
Correct.
So, I mean, I guess theoretically all 9 could return at the same time, but that's very doubtful.
Right.
And so more than likely what happens is you have 1 or 2 or 3 at a time, and then you make moves. The question I have is, how does it shape the practice squad based on the fact that John Robinson probably has some guys who are still on the 53 today that he will eventually want on the practice squad, but he'll have to form a practice squad. And I mean, he doesn't have to take all 16 spots initially, But you would think he'll grab as many as he can.
Absolutely. I think that this is going to be something that is going to continue turning for a couple days and for a couple weeks.
I think you're right.
Because you're going to continue to see practice squad moves. And when there's a practice squad move, as someone who gets the email with the transactions on it, it's so-and-so was released, so-and-so was re-added to the practice squad. You know, there's multiple transactions that have to happen when someone is moved from the active roster to the practice squad and vice versa. There's a lot of activity within that move. So I think it's going to be a lot of push notifications. It's going to be a lot of updates from the Tennessee Titans in the coming weeks, because you're not going to get one just dump of information where these people were cut, these people were put here, these people were put here. Every move is going to have a counter move somehow. Every decision that's made, every person returning is going to have a corresponding move for someone else that's going to mean something for someone else. I think this is all going to have a trickle-down effect that we're going to be feeling for a couple days.
All right, so let's go through it again. The cuts: Dez Fitzpatrick, Mason Kinsey, Javian Hawkins, Jamal Carter, Breon Body Calhoun, Miller Forrestall, Torrey Carter, Jan Johnson, Wyatt Ray, Jordan Ruse, Cole Banward, Christian Delario, Naquan Jones, Derwin Gray, Woodrow Hamilton, Fred Brown, Jared Pickney. So this leaves the Titans with 53 players on the roster, 9 players on the COVID list at this time. It leaves them with 13 defensive backs, none of them on the COVID list. It leaves them with a total of 6 inside linebackers, 2 on the COVID list. It leaves them with 5 outside linebackers, 1 on the COVID list. It leaves them with 5 defensive linemen, none on the COVID list. On offense, it leaves them with 10 offensive linemen, 2 of those on the COVID list, 4 tight ends, 1 on the COVID list, 3 quarterbacks, 1 on the COVID list, 8 wide receivers, 1 on the COVID list, 5 running backs, 1 on the COVID list, and 3 specialists, punter Brett Kern, long snapper Morgan Cox, and place kicker Sam Ficken. So, Titans going to continue to roll through it. The big news of the day, I think the headline is going to be Dez Fitzpatrick, a 4th-round pick cut. And we see if he ends up back on the practice squad or if someone else grabs him, based on the fact that a lot of people really like the Titans' selection of Dez Fitzpatrick in the 4th round. They thought they got him for great value. He just did not produce in camp in what is a very competitive group. And we mentioned that Cameron Batson did a great job, showed more versatility, can help this team right away. Marcus Johnson was one of the more impressive players in camp. Chester Rogers proved to be a good returner. And Nick Westbrook-Ikhina played well at wide receiver, and he's one of the team's better special teams players. The Racy McMath situation, you might have had to decide at a moment between Dez Fitzpatrick and Racy McMath if you're John Robinson. In the end, you did not, because McMath is on the COVID list.
Right. So, again, buying yourself some time. These decisions, if John Robinson doesn't have to make a decision right away, he's not going to. He's going to give everybody as long as possible to kind of find the best fit for this Titans team. So more to come. Stay tuned, everybody.
Certainly more to come here on the OTP, brought to you by our good friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans. You can plan on Farm Bureau Health Plans for better coverage, better rates, and better customer service. They've been providing Tennesseans with the home field advantage for almost 75 years. You know, we get a chance to visit with some neat people during the month of August, and one of my favorites, Jim Miller, from SiriusXM NFL Radio. It's Channel 88. He's on with our guy Pat Kerwin, maybe the second coolest guy in the NFL behind Dave McGinnis.
Dude, Pat Kerwin is pretty cool. Yeah, he's not cooler than Mac, but he's pretty dang cool.
Well, Jim Miller does a great job with him, was in town with the Bears. He does Bears TV. And this is a guy who tries to see everybody and has a level of expertise about more teams in the league than certainly most national figures. Here's a chat that I had with Jim Miller from Titans Radio. So glad to be joined by the co-host of Moving the Chains on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88, my favorite show, Pat Kerwin, and Jim Miller is here. It's going to be hot here on September 12th for Arizona, so we better be ready for it.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, you know, I think the Titans have made the necessary moves. I'm a big fan of Bud Dupree. I think that getting an Autry, I think that pass rush will be much better, should protect the secondary a little bit better as well. And I don't think it's going to change offensively other than Todd Downing calling the plays. So I know it didn't go so well out there with the Raiders at that point when he was calling plays, but I don't think he's going to tinker too much with the success the Tennessee Titans have had offensively here over the past couple seasons.
You and Pat Kerwin visited 14 different NFL camps. Supposed to do 15, but I guess you had a travel issue and couldn't get to Tampa. Why do you guys like to go to so many different NFL camps?
Well, it gets tougher and tougher every year, but I think when if you see a team in pads, you really get a true identity of what they are. You know, how tough they are, how physical they are, how they practice in pads, and I just think you're able to get a fairer evaluation, you know. Nowadays, it's tougher because sometimes when you travel, they may change their schedule, and now it's a walkthrough rather than a padded practice. So it becomes more difficult, but you're still there on site where you're interviewing guys, and you're still able to see the walkthrough and comment on things that you saw and maybe come away with us where you could glean just a couple of insight on how that team's going to fare that season. But it's better to see the team in pads.
Jim Miller, as I listened to Moving the Chains, it felt like the thing that struck you the most – was your experience with Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. Did I read that right?
Yeah, I was really impressed with him. You know, I think he's a very hands-on coach. I think you can definitely see that he has the ear of the team. You know, I believe that. I think those players respond to him. And I brought it up that kind of like when they were going out the practice field, Pat and I were walking with the team out to the practice field. Urban was at the 50-yard line and just as guys were coming out, hey, so-and-so, you know, come on over here. And he went through some techniques with, like, DJ Chark on how you know, if a defensive back is bodying him up. And I think DJ appreciated that the coach was really wanting to get to know the players and really have that hands-on approach with him. And I think that's why he kind of got frustrated through free agency. I think it took him by surprise that you don't get to recruit these guys. It's just, you know, it happens in a blink of an eye that you just kind of offer the contract and that player's a part of your team now. And I think he really wants to get to know players because I think football's different nowadays than what it used to be. It used to be a blanket one size fits all, and I think every player, you have certain go buttons that you're able to push, and when you know a player and what his go buttons are, you coach him differently than maybe the player that can take a little bit more hard coaching or coach yelling or coach speak like that. I just think, you know, that's what Urban, I think he really taps into that with players.
How good can Trevor Lawrence be as a rookie for Jacksonville at quarterback?
I think he can be very good. I think from what I saw, even there, we were at that practice was in pads, so Pat and I got a good understanding of what they're doing. He made the wow throws. From what I saw of Trevor Lawrence, it's not too big for him. He's been on a big stage at Clemson, even coming out of high school, he was on a big stage, and it just for him, it looks natural to him. It really does.
Of the 14 teams that you saw in training camp, who's the best football team you saw?
Ooh, we missed Tampa. I thought Baltimore is a well-built football team. Buffalo, that by far is probably the best roster I've seen. Put together how it's built from the 53rd player all the way to their top player, which is obviously, you know, their quarterback, Josh Allen. That is a well-built football team. We look at Buffalo. Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have really done a nice job. And I like their two young pass rushers. That Gregory Rousseau, I'm telling you, Pat said it the best. He looks like Williams from used to be of the Houston Texans.
Mario Williams.
Yeah, he looks like Mario Williams. He's got just long levers. And then here they played the Bears last week. He had a sack. He just totally the extension of his arms, the right tackle had no chance. No chance because Gregory Rousseau, his levers are just so impressive. He's going to be a really good football player.
Jim Miller, you played quarterback in this league, so I wonder about Josh Allen. I have a two-part question. Number one, are you surprised he's improved as much as he has as a passer since he came in the league? And number two, and I guess it's really right together, haven't they done a remarkable job developing him?
Yeah, a big fan of Brian Daboll. I spent a year with him in New England. I'm not surprised that Josh Allen is doing this well in the NFL because when you watched him at Wyoming, I remember everybody's like, oh, he has all these interceptions, but that was against Big Ten teams and Power Five teams. Wyoming didn't have the talent at that point to compete. His throws were where they needed to be. And I remember I went back and I watched his bowl game against Central Michigan. He ran, and Coach will know this, he ran a 135 then pivoted around and hit a skinny post to the backside. I go, there are professionals that can't make that throw. That guy, he's just got, he has stuff that you can't coach. He's just that physically gifted. And then I remember his rookie year when they played on the road in Minnesota, he hurdled the linebacker. I mean, these are things that are just not normal for a quarterback to do, but he needed polish. He needed refinement. Now he's done that. And coming off that the loss to Houston in that playoff game where I thought he blew a gasket mentally. He just situational play. He just blew it. Once he got that in order and he took it seriously and Sean McDermott said, hey, don't try to do too much, he really bottled that up, and I think you see it and why he got the big deal. He's going to continue to ascend as an NFL quarterback.
Jim Miller, is Cleveland the good team, maybe the really good team we're not talking about enough?
Yeah, I think they're – yeah, I don't think they're sleepers. The one area I don't think where they're strong, though, I don't think they'll have the ability to stop the run. I thought losing Sheldon Richardson was a big deal, so I don't think they're as stout interior on their defensive line. And, you know, again, if Clowney can go all 17, I think that's a big if, too. He's got a lot to prove from that standpoint. But they're a well-built football team, but I still think they're a defensive tackle short at stopping the run.
Obviously, Pat Kerwin knows a lot about Seattle due to his relationship with Pete Carroll out there. You saw them. We see them in week two. What do you think we're going to get when we go out and play the Seahawks on September 19th?
Yeah. That, to me, is a sleeper team because nobody's talking about them. They're better than you think with their offense with Shane Waldron. They've got two really good receivers. Their whole skill positions are just tremendous offensively. Chris Carson is underrated as a power back and how he runs. Their offensive line, to me, is finally settled. They'll get something done with Dwayne Brown. He'll be there, and he'll be ready to go. Great skill positions on offense. I think where people are sleeping on him is defensively. They've got waves of pass rushers that they can bring at you, and I think their linebacking core is pretty stout as well, and that secondary will be just fine. They really started to play good defense towards the end of the season.
Is year four the year John Gruden gets it straight with the Raiders?
Yeah, I think so. I actually like the Raiders. I like how they've competed here through the preseason. Offensively, they have the accountability they need. They'll be able to score points. They'll be able to move the ball. They were a top 10 offense a season ago. A couple of red zone mishaps. Their red zone could have been a lot better. Defensively, I've seen the team contest and do a lot more defensively. They just need a couple more stops defensively. And I think they potentially could be a playoff team.
Does New England come back and become a playoff team again in 2021?
I think they have a shot to do so. And how much money they invested in free agency, their defense will definitely be on point again.
Is everything hunky-dory with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? Do you buy that?
No, I think everybody's kind of grinning and bearing it right now is what I think. I think they're trying to make the best of the situation, and I think we'd all agree that Aaron Rodgers will be in a different area code next year. But they're a good team, and with him, he covers up a lot of warts for that team. So they'll be in the mix towards the end. But, yeah, I think it's a grin and bear it situation there.
It did not be surprised by the news that the Saints will go with Jameis Winston at quarterback.
No, I wasn't surprised. I just think he's the more consistent passer. When I saw Taysom Hill last year, and this is no offense to him, the ball was on the ground a lot. You know, everybody's upset about Jameis Winston's turnovers. But he's had a lot of starts under his belt, and I think Sean Payton will be able to negotiate that with play calling. But Taysom Hill, to me, he fumbled the ball too much from my standpoint. And just Jameis right now is probably the more consistent downfield passer that offers him more explosive plays passing the football.
Finally, can the Bears keep Justin Fields on the sideline all year and give him the redshirt season that Patrick Mahomes had when he came into the league?
I think that's the plan. I think that's what they'd like to unfold, but I think realistically, you know, if the season starts to go a certain direction, say they're 4-6, and they say, what are the odds that we're going to rip off 7 victories, and they feel that the kid's ready at that point, I think that's when they make a change, you know? So 5-5, 4-6, something like that, that maybe he'd be inserted in the lineup. They like what they've seen for him. I liked what I've seen from Justin Fields here in the preseason. I think he's tough. He's got a good arm. He is, you know, and I brought this up last week on the air in the broadcast. You got to remember, at Ohio State, he never even called plays. He literally, the whole offense looks at the coach. He signals in the play. He didn't even call a play. So that's been a hurdle for him to really get over. And I think now he's starting to feel more comfortable from that standpoint, is really starting to take a more command of the offense, knowing what getting a picture in his mind and knowing what's going to happen when he calls the play.
Jim Miller, SiriusXM NFL Radio, moving the chains every weekday afternoon with Pat Kerwin. Thanks for the time.
You bet. Good to always see you, man.
Good stuff from our friend Jim Miller, and thank you to him for taking time with us. All right, Amy Wells, next couple days, lots to watch. The first thing is who comes back from the COVID list. That will force John Robinson to make a corresponding move when a player is ready to come off.
Well, I think the person we're most excited about coming off the COVID list is Mike Vrabel. Bring him back. Bring him home. He's been in his basement for so many days. We're so ready to get him back in the building. So,
would you say it's safe to say he is phenomenally grumpy?
Well, today he was phenomenally delightful, borderline hilarious, and I think it's because he knows he's getting out. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. He's about to be released. Everybody's really happy before their release date. You don't watch prison shows on TV?
Everybody is
very delightful right before they get released from jail.
So good.
Or they fight somebody.
So good that you're an expert on prison.
I watch a lot of prison shows, a ton.
And we have that.
No, but really, I think he's about to be released from his basement, and he is really excited to get back to work. So, yes, he has gone from being incredibly grumpy to rather delightful and happy to come back.
Well, he admitted he was grumpy.
Yeah, he did.
He admitted as much.
Yeah, but...
It'd be good to have him back and a sense of normalcy coming back to the ball club. But I think what you're going to see, I mean, the headline from today outside of the fourth-round pick, Des Fitzpatrick, being released... The headline from today from us with the OTP is there's a lot more to come with the Titans because of the COVID list being, you know, as heavy as it is with nine guys right now. You're just going to end up seeing this team making a lot of moves and probably moving back and forth with the practice squad. I'm excited to see what the practice squad is going to look like.
I think there's going to be some real players on the practice squad. You know, I think it's actually going to be a group where, I mean, we saw last year, you dip into the practice squad
sure.
a lot. I mean, that is a place that you need to have some good talent and some reliable guys. And I think the Titans are going to be able to do that. And that's really exciting to me to have that depth that you can kind of train up and work on and then count on when you need them.
Will you be watching a prison show for your birthday this evening?
You know what? I've kind of got some other things on Netflix and a variety of places. I've been watching a lot of, and this is kind of prison adjacent, I've been watching a lot of Love After Lockup. So it's after they get out of prison. Have you not watched this show? It's on WE TV.
No.
I don't recommend it for children, not great for the youths, but wow, really a strong show for me. I've been rolling through that right now.
Does this not shine a light on what I go through?
I'm just trying to give you some TV recommendations.
Do you not understand now how this, wow, a lot of counseling after each OTP.
I'm just trying to help everybody out. Love After Lockup, WE TV, I'll be watching
That's
it.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
We'd love that. That'll be great.
Recommend it.
For Amy Wells, somewhat troubled, birthday celebrating Amy Wells. I'm Mike Keith. Thanks for joining us for the OTP.
Just like good TV.
Cool. Welcome to the big show where the legends go. Everybody knows it's our house. Fighting for Tennessee. Making history. Greatness is meant to be ours now. Hey, we got Titan blood running through our veins.